Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here. We're covering session number 6 in our study in Numbers and Deuteronomy. This particular lesson is intended for October 12th, and those of you at Trinity Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio, that will be a Sunday where we are having our missions conference. All the adult classes are going to be in some sort of combined class with missionaries that we're having. We're really excited about that. And so this particular lesson is one that we will skip at our church, but there are a lot of other churches that have teachers that watch this channel and get help from lessons. And so we're going ahead and making this video. This particular passage is Numbers 22 through 35, verses 22 to 35. And it covers a character named Balaam. As people who live with the full canon of scripture, we're in an age where we have the New Testament. One of the things that's really cool is that the Holy Spirit in the New Testament can give us commentary on things that happen in the Old Testament. That happened in 2 Peter chapter 2 regarding this particular narrative in Numbers 22, and it says this, and it gives us a lot of clarity about that Old Testament passage. 2 Peter 2:15 says this, talking about people who have done wrong, it says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity, the dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Here, Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives a commentary about this prophet named Balaam. He calls him a mad prophet. He says he's a prophet of this prophet liked the wages of unrighteousness. This gives clarity to what was actually said even before the verses that is highlighted in this particular lesson, where it says that Balaam asked God if he could go follow after the king who was calling him, a king of the Moabites, I believe. And that this king, actually, let's go look at Numbers chapter 22. I'm going to pull that up on my screen here. Numbers 22, looking at the very beginning of the chapter, Balaam, you know, this is in the story of Israel. They've begun to come into the land, and it says, Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amalekites, and Moab was sore afraid of the people because there were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. So that's what's going on. The princes of Moab rose up. They went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. They had gone to Balaam and said, hey, could you come? God said no. So Balaam said no. Then he gets sent back. Verse 18, Balaam, so they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, this king who sent these servants back, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee into very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come, I say, come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. He says in verse 18, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak will give me the house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye here all the night, this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. So he's basically saying, maybe I can make money off of this, essentially. He kind of gives the right answer, saying, even if I could get a lot of money, the Lord's not going to give this to me. But he asked the Lord again, and it says literally that God says, you can go. But yet, it says, verse 20, God said unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. So God says, I've already told you no, but essentially this is the context. God already told him no, but he's saying, okay, you can go, but if you go, you're going to say and do what I tell you to do. So Balaam gets up, and that's the context. He's talked about money. Now we know from 2 Peter that money was in his heart, that he wanted what he wanted. And this is the context in which we find this story. Now, it says that And here's really the big idea. Through Balaam's interaction with God and his donkey, we see three ways that God deals with believers when we're doing wrong. Here we see Balaam, who supposedly is a one who speaks for God. He's actually receiving a prophecy from God, but we see God opposing him. Okay. We see three ways that God deals with him when he was doing wrong. And that gives us some idea of how God deals with us when we're doing wrong. Number one, when we're doing wrong, God opposes our direction. The Bible literally says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, scourges everyone he sees. He says, if you don't receive correction, then are you bastards and not sons? So like literally you're illegitimate. It's a sign of illegitimacy that you're not really a child of God if you don't get corrected. We see this in Numbers 22:22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way and for an adversary against him. Now he, talking about Balaam, was riding upon his ass or his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned away out of the way, and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on the side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. You see here this angel of the Lord, some people call it a theophany, a personification of God. Angel means messenger. So certainly this is a powerful spiritual being, and he's standing there with a sword in his hand. And it's ironic here that the donkey sees it, but Balaam does it. Balaam is a prophet of God, and he can't see the working of God right in front of him, but the donkey does. And because of that, he's trying to go somewhere. He's trying to go to Moab. And we're told by 2 Peter, he's doing it because he has money in his heart. He's mad. He's crazy with greed. And God's opposing him. The messenger of God is opposing him. And that's what's happening. Ironically, the donkey can see and the prophet can't. He literally, the donkey is going against the wall and he smashes his foot. It says, verse 25, crush Balaam's foot against the wall. And he keeps hitting the donkey. And, when the donkey saw it, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled. So you just got this irate prophet just beating his donkey because he's so mad, right? So God is opposing his direction. He is going against Balaam. Number two, we see that God gets our attention. To apply the first point, that's what God does sometimes for us when we are trying to do what we want to do. There are times where God makes the way hard. The Bible says that he does that. And so this is a picture of that. It's an illustration of that. God sometimes does not work with us. He works against us when we're working against him. And then number two, this is God's mercy. God gets our attention. We see that in verse 28. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou smitten thee these three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. It's kind of funny that when the donkey speaks, that the next word out of Balaam's mouth isn't like, why are you talking? Like a Mr. Ed moment, right? The donkey says, why are you beating me? Have I ever done anything wrong? That's what he says in verse 30. Am I not thine ass, which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. So he's now the donkey is giving a argument. He's giving logic. He's actually reasoning with this irate, out of control prophet. First, the donkey can see and the prophet can't. Now, the donkey is giving logic and reason and trying to help the prophet get that. Verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. Now he can see. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. This guy is now overcome with the presence of this angel of the Lord. He now sees what the donkey could see. He now begins to think like the donkey was thinking. Essentially, you see, he got his attention. Sometimes God allows us to go through difficulty because he's trying to get our attention. The worst thing we can do is to go through difficulty, to have God oppose us, and to not ever get it, to not have our attention focused on the Lord and give us, and then not being able to receive this next thing, this next way that God gives us. Number three, God gives us direction. It says in verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? So you see here, the messenger of the God of God is asking the same thing the donkey asked. Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. Why did God oppose him? Because he's going for the wrong reason. He's going with the wrong motivation. Second Peter told us it's with money in his heart. He has a greedy aspirations, right? And he says, here's what's going on. The ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now I would have slain thee and saved her alive. He's like, that donkey is not doing something to you. She's actually doing something for you. She saved your life because I would have killed you. Balaam said unto the angel, Lord, I have sinned. So he's at least acknowledging his wrongdoing. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shall thou speak. That's exactly what he said before. And there's something about this messenger of God who's speaking on behalf of God, who says, I know, yes, you went, but you were opposed to doing what I told you to do before. That is to go and to do what I want you to do, not what you want to do. And it says this, so Balaam went with the prince of Balak. God corrected him. And at least in this immediate context, Balaam admitted that correction was needed. This is such a interesting story. It's an unusual story in the Bible. Some may ask, do you really believe that God made the animal to speak? That God, that actually really happened? Do you believe that this is history? And I would tell you that that's exactly what I believe. I believe that if Genesis 1:1 is true, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, that it's not hard for him to use whatever means he wants to use to get our attention. And the supernatural is possible. In fact, it's likely that a supernatural God created the world, and that supernatural God can make the world do whatever it is he wants. Often the supernatural is used to get our attention because it's out of the norm. It's stuff we don't do on a regular basis. It's something we don't see on a regular basis, and God uses those things to get our attention. I don't know what's going on in your life personally, and you and I don't know what's going on in everybody in our class's lives personally. But what I do know is that God loves his kids. And if there are people in your class that are children of God, that, you know, I'm studying John right now. And John says, as many as received him, to them gave he power or the right to become the sons of God. So God deals with us as kids, as children, as sons. And good fathers discipline their kids. How do you know when you're being disciplined? Is God opposing you? Is God trying to get your attention? Is God using his word or his people to use his word or the principles of his word to correct? That may be what God's doing in your life. And if he is, that's an important thing. It's important to pay attention, and it's important. You don't want to get opposed by God. You don't want to go fight with God. You want to believe, to obey, and to go with God. So I hope that helps you think through this lesson. I hope it. I hope this outline is clear, and maybe you'll get somebody's attention in your class. Maybe God's getting your attention in regards to something that he wants to change in you. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.